This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
All right, Rob Cherry, Rob Ellis on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon. Feels like Spring already. Man.
Almost in March, a week away.
Well, we got baseball on the radio.
Phillies get a win.
How about that?
No ties today, Rob.
1-0-1.
Exactly.
They're leading the Grapefruit League right now.
Undefeated.
Aaron Nola had his first outing today, the so-called ace. Got cuffed around.
Not really.
They gave up a couple hits.
But all right. No runs.
No, he got out of it fine after two innings. And Jay Bruce knocked in a couple runs.
Set the tone, man. Yeah. Get some runs for your ace and then cruise from there.
Roman Quinn starts off the game with a double off the wall that looked like the outfielder maybe misjudged.
Had a great defensive play, too.
He did. Roman Quinn is an interesting guy in that he's probably their best fielding center fielder. But he can't stay healthy.
It's been the story of his career, minors and majors. But he's, he's a big-time threat on the base paths. He can track balls in a big way. He's a good player if he stays healthy, but I can't count on him.
No, that's been the issue with him, bad luck or whatever it is. But he certainly has gotten a ton of opportunities to play at different times. He just has not been able to stay healthy.
Yeah, he and Haseley. I think they're going to both – I would probably lean more towards Haseley because he's a little bit more dependable health-wise, but they're both going to get chances. And if somebody stands out, they could take the job.
He's got a better bat, Haseley. He's got a power bat.
When Quinn's healthy, he is inconsistent at the plate for sure.
All right, so we'll talk some Phillies today, perhaps. We're only here till 6, but we'll talk a little bit of Phillies today. But last night, the Astros played their first game in West Palm Beach, and predictably they got booed and heckled.
Yeah, well, welcome to the season.
Yeah, well, I was gonna tell you this is gonna happen all season and maybe all decade.
Yeah, and this was light. I mean, whatever they get in spring training is gonna be nothing like any road trip they take during the regular season, especially the first time they roll into a town.
People had signs too. The best one I saw called them the Houston Asterix.
That's pretty good.
Right.
That's pretty good.
With a picture, they didn't spell it asterisk, just a picture of an asterisk with an apostrophe S.
I like that.
Yeah, that was very clever. All right, so the last night was also the biggest regular season test of the process here, and the Sixers failed miserably and predictably.
Ugly.
In Milwaukee
ugly.
Last night.
You know, yeah. I mean, you had a bad feeling as soon as Simmons went down. But
yeah.
I think we all kept rationalizing in our head, well, as bad as it's been, they're only down six. You had that moment for a while, and then the third quarter, it was over.
They looked rudderless without Ben Simmons in there.
They did. I mean, yeah. Here's yet another problem with this team. As far as the way they're constructed.
Point guards? Or yeah. lack thereof?
Right. I mean, Howell Neto, is it really an option? Alec Burks has been here for 5 minutes, and he's, you know, they're your chief ball handler. And then the other option is Josh Richardson, that he's really not a point guard.
Well, who was the backup last year after they decided that TJ wasn't good enough for the playoffs? Was Butler playing some point guard last year?
Yeah, Butler could run the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Butler could run the one for sure.
They just don't have a reliable backup point guard. They tried Trey Burke earlier in the year. For some reason, Brett Brown didn't want to go to him, and then they got rid of him.
Yeah, look, it was a bad game last night, and I've seen a lot of people, and I saw it after the game last night and then today, laying it on Embiid. And I'm not telling Embiid was great.
He was pretty. His shooting was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, he did keep him in it for a while.
And he looked interested, which is the problem you have with some of those road losses where he looked disinterested. He was interested last night.
I didn't feel in any way like he wasn't engaged. The problem was, I mean, like, he was a little bit off. And when Simmons went down, when Embiid was in, every play was being run for him.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't quite great. But I didn't feel like it was an effort thing. But the problem with blaming that game on Embiid is you're letting Tobias Harris off the hook, you're letting Josh Richardson off the hook, you're letting Glenn Robinson III, who started, off the hook, and you're especially letting Al Horford, who is a disaster with a capital D.
He looks older by the day.
Rob, think about last night. You lose Simmons, right? You think all hands on deck, let's get the best players on the floor, let Richardson handle it, but we need to get Horford out there. When he put Horford out there, he was so hideous on both ends. Brett Brown was scared to death to put him back out.
What happened to him?
He's either hurt or he's done.
Yeah, but maybe it's a case of sometimes players will look really good against your team. You'll think, well, I got to have that guy. Takes him away from their team. Plus, I see how he plays against our best people. You know, he negated Embiid at some point. Although, frankly, it was the other big guy that they had, not last year, the year
Tice,
before that.
Baines.
No, Baines that seemed to negate
him
as well.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. I hear you, and I do think that happens a lot. You and I were talking about this before the show. No better example than Roy Hinson for people who go back as far as
they look good against your team, but when you get him on your team, it's like, he's not that good.
But the only thing is, Horford had a lot of good years for the Celtics and Hawks. It wasn't like this was just sort of a 2 or 3 year thing, and he only did it against the Sixers. He had a really good career. This guy.
Had. That's the key word there, had, because it looks like he no longer has it.
You want to hear? You want to get depressed for a minute?
Sure.
Sorry to bring you down, but
it's a beautiful day outside.
I know. Tobias Harris, and I'll give you Al Horford in a minute, but Tobias Harris, 5 years, $180 million is what his deal was in the offseason.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Making this year 32.7, next year 34.3, the year after that 35.9, the year after that 37.6.
What are they getting from?
He's just a guy.
He's their third option, and I don't even know if he's that great a third option.
No, you know what he did last night when you really needed him with Ben Simmons out against the best team in the NBA? Regular season, at least.
What were his numbers?
3 for 10 from the floor, 0 for 2 from 3, 11 points. An utter non-factor, okay? Horford. 4 years, $109 million. You are saddled with two awful contracts.
You signed a guy in his mid-30s for 4 years.
This is exactly what Hinkie didn't want, by the way. Yeah. Not to stir up a whole process
discussion.
What did
Hinkie want?
Well, he didn't.
To keep trading and trading and trading and trading?
He didn't want old guys signed to insane deals or mediocre guys signed like they're superstars. And that's exactly what Elton Brand did with these two.
Who's Hinkie working for these days?
He is.
I want to know what he's up to these days.
I think he's doing the overnight.
Because people were saying that, he's going to get a job somewhere. Once he gets released from his whatever with the Sixers,
I'm just pointing out like the Sixers after all they went through shouldn't be in this kind of spot and staring at two like I've heard people say, well, they could probably move Horford, but there's no chance they're going to move Harris.
How could they move Horford?
Who's taking Horford? First of
all, that salary,
A, the salary, B, the production, and C, the pool would be very limited to teams that feel like they're really close to winning it.
You know, someone else's mistake for your mistake.
Right. Like there's no way a team like, I don't know, Phoenix or whatever, that isn't close, would take an older guy at ridiculous money off of your hands who's going the other way.
Looks like this now.
This is a mess. I know it's only one game, but man.
Well, look, the loss was predictable once Simmons went out, but they didn't show a ton of fight.
No.
And that's a little depressing.
Yeah.
This they're going to face Milwaukee again. They're coming here.
Right.
And their schedule, it is set up where they could win. They have 25 games left. They could actually win 18, 19, 20 games.
Oh, it's very favorable. And by the way, Simmons will not play against the Hawks. He's out.
You'd think they wouldn't need him, but the last time they played the Hawks, they lost him.
Yeah.
But that was in Atlanta.
So, yeah, I agree with you that they can certainly get their share of wins here, but you still just look at the way, first of all, how inconsistent they are, right? Yeah. Number one.
Well,
you just they're
different team at home than they are on the road, obviously.
And just the way that they're constructed. There's no shooters. Who are the shooters?
I don't know. When they constructed this team, everybody said, well, this is going to be a great defensive team, and they'll get their points off defense.
That's what you thought.
Well, I don't see that much. And frankly, the shooting's been a problem all year long until supposedly they took care of it at the deadline, bringing in Alex Burks and Robinson.
Yeah, GR3.
Yeah, well, big little dog.
Little
big dog.
Last night got the start again.
Yeah, how do you look?
First of all, that's enough of that, yeah. Brett.
Well, who's he going to start at that other position?
But hang on. 6 points in 20 minutes from little big dog?
I think they better go back to Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah, I would rather that. I know he doesn't bring you the offense that you would like, but still, maybe that way you generate some points off of steals and get in transition a little bit.
They said these guys are shooters, Burks and Robinson.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of air balls.
I tell people
and
all the time,
misfires.
Beware when you trade for a player who's on a garbage team, who's putting up points, and make no mistake, Golden State's garbage. Yeah. Just be a little leery.
Well, the best player on the worst team is getting a lot of playing time generally because it's not that good a team.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's deceptive, deceptive.
The other thing, too, is, I'm going to harp on this for the rest of the show here, but it's not like Horford's just done on offense.
He's done on defense.
Killing you on defense. Yeah. He's a turnstile. He can't stop anybody.
He's not impressive at all.
I don't know. He's either, Rob, he's hurt, he's done, or he's as lost as they get and needs a change of scenery bad, but he's impossible to move.
He must be hurt. I mean, it couldn't be that big of a difference from last year to this year.
I don't know. I don't know how it happens. He's 33. He's not, we see guys be productive at 33.
Yeah, but I think it's risky to get a big man in his mid-30s, and 33 to me is mid-30s at this point, to sign him to a long-term deal. That's a 1 or 2 year deal.
When you brought him in, the hope was when Embiid's out, he slides over to play the five. Those two, at least when they're on the floor together, will be a killer, 1-2 down low defending, and he can stretch out and knock a three down. You watch the games, he gets a lot of good looks.
And he doesn't hit them.
He doesn't make them.
Yeah.
Just doesn't make them.
He made them with the Celtics.
But their shooting last night was horrendous. Now, Hubie Brown kept pointing it out on the broadcast. Like, basically what Hubie was saying was, try something else here. Like, you're clearly not hit. They were 13 for 38 from three. And by the way, that got a lot better at the end of the game.
Yeah.
It was way worse than that.
Right.
But he was saying, you got some of your points when you made a little mini run by, working the ball in the paint a little bit. Nothing. Nothing. They just kept launching.
The most fascinating thing about last night's game was they interviewed the Big O before the game.
Yeah.
In NBA, whatever they call their pregame show.
Yeah.
Oscar Robertson's got to be 80s.
He's 82, I think they said on the broadcast. Yeah, 82.
He was All-American at Cincinnati. Played for the Royals when I think they had territorial drafts back then, so they would draft whoever.
That's how Wild ended up
as
a Warrior. Yeah,
and then got traded to the Bucks late in his career. Won a title with Kareem, the only title the Bucks have ever won.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I don't think that's is it the anniversary of that team or no?
They were 69.
Maybe so. It was 69, 70. So it would be the 50th anniversary.
It would be. You're right. Yeah. It would be. Yeah. Yeah. So I look. The bottom line is. And the other thing is, guys who you were hoping, you brought up Burks. Burks last night, 3 of 13 from the floor. Your bench, Kirkbaugh came on at the end and got you some points, and Shake Milton late. Like, a lot of these were garbage points.
Well, Kirkbaugh actually hit a couple shots.
He was the one guy you felt like was at least busting at the whole game. Yeah. I'll give him that much. But, you know, your starting lineup, you get 9 points out of Josh Richardson in 27 minutes. You get 6 points out of Glenn Robinson in 20 minutes. Harris gives you 11. And all three, listen to the shooting. Harris, 3 for 10. Glenn Robinson, 3 for 8. Richardson, 4 for 10. You know, and Richardson doesn't get to the line. Robinson doesn't get to the line. Harris gets you there 5 times. That's an utter lack of aggression. That's just standing back, launching shots ridiculously. And Horford comes off the bench. He plays 24 minutes, Rob. Goes 1 for 7 from the floor. Doesn't get to the line.
Did he take a three?
1 for 6 from three. Yeah, at the beginning of the game, he was throwing up threes like he was Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And couldn't hit any of them.
Embiid was what, 5 for 14?
5 for 18.
5 for 18.
It was a night where he was just a little bit off, you know, and nobody picked him up at all.
Yeah, and Simmons ended up playing, what, like 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes?
He only played five.
5 minutes?
Yeah, he
went out in the first quarter.
You saw it when he was on the free throw line. Yeah. He was just kind of like laboring. You knew.
Yeah, well, let's hope that's nothing serious, because they do not have an answer at point guard beside him.
No, and you... I know you got away with it the previous game, but it's pretty apparent when you play a really good team how much you miss that guy.
Yeah,
when he's on the floor. And you're right. The one thing you don't want to do with him is rush him back. Like things like that where you kind of tweak a back or wrench a back, you got to just make sure he's all the way back before you play him again.
Yeah, it's a shame it happened, you know, during the All-Star break or at some point, maybe at practice, because he had 9 days off. He would have had 9 days off had he not played in the All-Star game.
And he's an iron man. I know he missed his first – the entire first year, but since then.
Has he missed games? He's missed maybe two, three games?
Yeah, he's only missed a few. He's been a really...
I would say he's in the best shape of anybody on the Sixers.
I agree. His cardio and his conditioning. Yeah. He never looks tired. He never even breaks a sweat.
No, he doesn't. And last year I would have said him and J.J. Redick are the guys that are the best shape on that team. J.J. J.J. played maybe 30 minutes. This guy plays 35 minutes, but looks like he could play the entire game.
No, look, when they look bad, they look bad. And I know, you know, people say, well, you're going to overreact. It's one NBA game. But it's this continuing pattern on the road where you're now 9-20.
This was a measuring stick.
9-20.
This was a measuring stick game.
Ugh.
And you don't measure up to the Milwaukee Bucks on the road. And, if you're going to make the playoffs, and right now they're in the fifth position, game and a half out of fourth, no, they could move up. They're not going to move up past that because the Celtics are like, what,
five up? They're 5 behind. The Celtics are in action today, but they're 5 behind the Celtics.
Right, so it could be 4.5.
Going into action today.
But it's still a lot to make up in the last 25 games, although the Sixers have the favorable schedule. But if they're in the 4-5 seed, that means the second round, you're playing the Bucks.
No, I always look at the 10-game sample size. So you look at the teams that are on top in the East. Milwaukee's 8-2 in their last 10.
Right.
Toronto, 9-1. They're playing a little bit later.
They had,
the
like, what did they win, 20 in a row?
16 or something. Yeah. Even Boston. Boston's 9-1 in their last 10. You know what the Sixers are? 5-5. That's
about what they are.
That's them.
Yeah.
That's them. They're just
you
up
go on
and
the
down.
Road, you lose, you come home, you win.
Exactly.
They have at home, the games on the road aren't that difficult. The games on the road, they play at Cleveland, which is obviously a win. The Clippers and Lakers are the two games. They'll probably lose both those games. It's possible they win one of them. Kings and Warriors. They should win both those games.
They're not good teams. There's two real challenges on the road.
Clippers and Lakers.
The rest of the way.
Well, the Grizzlies are actually over 5. They're a 500 team.
They're okay. Okay. Jackson's banged up, so I don't know if he'll be available for that.
The Pelicans are better than their record because they haven't had Zion Williamson
until recently. They've been a lot better.
That
since
game
Zion
they
came.
Could lose. The Spurs are terrible this year. The Wizards aren't very good. The Bulls, the Wolves, the Hornets.
The rest of it's sloppy.
Yeah. So I would say 8-4, maybe. As bad as they are on the road, they could go 8-4 in those 12 games.
They could.
The home games, they have 13. They have the only difficult teams they have at home are Miami. I think Miami's here. Let's see. The Raptors, Rockets, Pacers, and Bucks.
Well,
the only teams over 500 they play.
The other thing is, and I know we got a break here, but the other part is that smoke and mirrors. Like, let's say
absolutely.
They win those games you're talking
about,
like Cleveland.
Smoke and mirrors.
Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I can't bank that going into the playoffs. Like, hey, everything's fine now. No.
They could have between 53 and 55 wins, and I think most people are going to say they're not going past the second round.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, 888-729-9494, pound 9494, your AT&T Verizon Wireless cell phone. Rob Cherry, Rob Ellis, WIP Sports Time is 443.
Sports Radio 94, WIP, 2020 Sports.
I'm Joe Altamonte. Jay Bruce hit a two-run double in the Phillies' four-run first inning as the Phils held on for a 4-3 win over the Pirates today in spring training action. Catcher Rafael Marchand showed off his D.
Here is Pabst, and he takes a big swing and a miss. Throw by Marchand down to second with the runner going. He's in time. Great throw by Marchand. And he guns down the would-be base dealer, Chris Sharp.
Scott Fransky, the call on 94 WIP. Play helped preserve a one-run lead. Aaron Nola started through two scoreless innings for the win. Phils host Baltimore tomorrow. College basketball this afternoon. Temple goes down at East Carolina, 67-63. Sixers will host the Hawks tomorrow night without Ben Simmons. He was ruled out today after getting an MRI on his back. He'll be checked out again tomorrow. Or the good news, the Sixers host a Hawks team that is 6-24 on the road. I'm Joe Altamonte. To stream 94WIP, get our podcast and all the latest Philadelphia sports stories, go to 94WIP.com.
2020 Sports on Sports Radio 94WIP.
Rob Cherry, Rob Ellis, hanging out till 6 tonight. 888-729-9494 and pound 9494, your AT&T Verizon Wireless cell phone. All right, back to phone, or let's go to the phones here. Hassan in Strawberry Mansion, you're on 94 WIP. Hello.
Good afternoon. How you fellas doing this evening?
Hey, Hassan, what's up?
Not much. I called up because you guys were spot on. Sure. Analyzation of the Sixers game last night. Like, the shots that were being taken by Tobias Harris and Al Horford and sometimes Embiid, but I can't blame Embiid for last night. I have to blame Elton Brand for the construction of this team. And I have to blame Brett Brown throwing the five out that he was throwing out at some points of that game. Like, when they were in that game and you had Horford, Embiid, Korkmaz, Harris, and Glenn Robinson III on the court at the same time, like, that's when it got ridiculous. That's when the game ballooned out of control. They had nobody to run an offense. So what you say, Embiid could claim to be the best player in the world. He could be the most dominant. He can be a scorer. But a big man is never going to be that in the guards game. I'm sorry.
Not anymore.
We need a guard and a backup guard.
Well, they have a couple guards. I mean, obviously, if Simmons is healthy, but Josh Richardson's a pretty decent
guard,
too.
Well, yeah, I'm saying leaving Simmons, I'm saying once Simmons went down last night, like, it's like Brett Brown didn't have another plan. He should have had Nato out there, Shake Melton a little more, who could create offense and do something. I've been screaming for them to sign or at least talk to Jamal Crawford. Like,
yeah, but he's not a one, though, Hassan. He's not a one. I mean, you do need scoring.
He's not a one every night, but in a situation like of last night, you could hand the ball to him and we don't fall apart.
He's
not a point guard. I do agree with that. Yeah. He's not.
I mean, there's a general issue here with the way this whole thing is built. You know, you let Redick walk, okay. I mean, you felt you didn't want to give him 2 years, fine. What are you doing to replace him in terms of getting that shooting? And they did nothing to replace that shooting.
Well, they said they replaced him with a guy that's a better defensive player. Well, that hasn't worked out.
Right. And it's like, you know, I like Richardson, but he's all over the place offensively. Yeah. Harris is a fourth or fifth option at best. He's nothing more than that. You're paying him like he's a max guy.
Butler was the guy they should have kept. They traded for Butler. They should have kept him.
They made a lot of mistakes this offseason.
How about you trade the best shooter in the draft for a kid that can't even get on the floor now?
The best shooter in the draft in who?
When they got the kid from Villanova two seasons
Mikal
ago.
Mikal Bridges was the best
Markel
shooter.
Mikal Bridges.
I like Bridges. I wouldn't go as far as saying best shooter in the draft, but I hear you. I mean,
draft he was.
Well, frankly, I'd rather have Dante DiVincenzo than Mikal Bridges.
The problem is you're
But
Hassan's right. Yeah. You bring in Zaire Smith, who's yet another guy who can't shoot, who's supposed to be a defender. He only even gets called up to the big team when there's injuries.
Yeah.
He's an average scorer in the G League.
Yeah, they've drafted very poorly Oh, and it's not
to
just
even go two drafts ago. How about the draft trading the picks to Boston this year?
Well, that's
like, I like Fievel. Don't get me wrong, but Carson Edwards would look a lot better with this offense.
I wanted Carson Edwards in the worst way. Now I know he's not doing a whole lot.
I like Fievel though,
but I don't have any issue with Fievel. But you still could have gotten both.
I was about to say you could have got Fievel without trading to your arch enemy. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous what's going on. Danny Ainge fleeced us for Tatum. Then he fleeced us for this. Like, it's yeah, like,
maybe at some point we just don't do deals.
Don't deal.
Yeah, just have the Sixers avoid deals. Thank you.
You don't do deals with teams that are your enemies.
They're
not going to do you any favors.
But also just, you know, period. That guy, I hate him. But Ainge doesn't lose generally these kind of deals. He usually comes out on top. So I would not do anything with this guy.
And look, a lot of people thought Fultz was the best player in that draft. I was among them. I was snowed by it. Mm-hmm. But you don't know what's inside a guy's head and heart.
Yeah. I can't kill them. I wanted Fultz too. I thought he'd be the perfect complement to Simmons because he could play either the one or the off guard. He shot 41% from three in college. And yeah, that the problem is, and this is where, like, you and I can watch this guy from afar at Washington and see all the skills. But this is where a GM really earns his salt, by getting inside the head of these guys, talking to everybody they know.
And I think there were some red flags that they just didn't want to.
Yeah,
and the Celtics probably saw those red flags and said, "Well, you know what?
Exactly.
We're not so sure we're going to take him, but we're going to act like we are. So if somebody wants him, they can trade up for him."
You're exactly right. That's what
happened there.
Yeah, I mean, and you could say, "Oh, Ainge is just, you know, blowing smoke or whatever," but there's a lot of reports that came out of Boston saying Ainge wouldn't have taken this guy. He would have taken
Tatum at number one.
He didn't want any parts of him.
See, that's the worst part of that trade. The idea that they didn't have to make that trade to get the guy.
Yeah,
because who was it? The Lakers had two that year. They were going for Lonzo Ball or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ball kids.
Yeah, Alonzo.
Alonzo. Okay, yeah. So they were taking him anyway. So someone was falling. Fultz would have fallen to them at three.
Yeah, right. They would have probably taken Tatum, and he would have been still sitting there, and you still would have had that first great pick.
Yeah. So they've drafted. Look, during this whole not just this regime, the whole process thing, and we're talking 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
They've got two players from it.
Yeah, and you know, and you can blame
Simmons and Embiid.
Yeah, you can blame three different sort of GM regimes. Brian Colangelo for the Fultz thing. Brett Brown was the GM in charge during the draft when they decided to select Bridges and trade him for Zaire Smith.
Right.
And then Elton Brand, not so much drafts.
Well, you got four, because you can also blame Sam Hinkie, because during his watch, they also, was it Nerlens Noel, Michael Carter-Williams, Okafor?
Mm-hmm.
You keep drafting centers?
Yeah, right. And that's, yeah, you want to add that, certainly. But the other part of it is, you know, Elton Brand's decisions. You know, you gave up, think about how much you gave up for Tobias Harris. You gave up Landry Shamet, a first-rounder, and then you decide to almost max him out. You bring in Horford, and either you made a mistake, the coach can't coach him up, or the player's done, I don't know what, but this is going to go. This could have potential to go down as one of the worst signings in the history of any Philadelphia team. It's that bad. He's that bad when he's out there.
I'm trying to think of worst signings that Philadelphia's made
a lot.
You include all the teams.
Yeah, we'd be here for a long
time.
You would
be hard pressed to find. I mean, each team has made some bad signings over the years.
They have, but
Philly's,
I mean,
especially.
You know, I thought when they moved Horford to the bench, I thought it would help him. I thought it would help the starters and give them a little bit more spacing. I haven't seen any kind of impact in a positive way on Horford. He looks just as bad, if not worse, with the second unit, where he's not out there all the time with Embiid. He's playing the more comfortable position for him, and he still can't do anything.
Who has a guy that makes $25 million come off the bench?
That tells you how bad it is.
Yeah, that's almost impossible.
You're talking about a guy who just signed, okay? In Al Horford, a 4-year, $109 million deal, and
he's
coming
off the
bench
in his first year.
That is bad. He's
not coming off the bench. They had to put him on the bench because it wasn't working out in the starting lineup.
And I actually think it's the right thing, but it is a bad organizational look.
Terry and Broomall, you're 94 WIP.
Hey, Rob and Rob.
Hey, Ter.
I've been listening to this Sixers nonsense now
since the process nonsense, okay? Yeah. You have the Eagles coaches on, you have the Eagles owner on, you have the players on, you have the Phillies owner, the coaches, the players. None of these guys will ever come on your show for an hour to answer this nonsense that they call pro basketball in Philadelphia. I don't understand it.
What does that mean, to answer this nonsense that they call pro basketball? What does that mean?
Well, what you guys are talking every day, the same thing. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Ben can't shoot. Where are the owners and the manager and the coach to fix it? Tell them to come on. Tell us how they're going to fix it.
Well, Brett Brown does a media availability every day. Comes on. I think he's been on the morning show a few times. Mm-hmm. He's been on here a few times. But what explanation does he have here? I mean, what can he's not the one picking the players at this point. He's the one putting them in position. But yeah, he's not picking the players.
I still don't know what Terry's point was. But you know, when Brett Brown publicly pleads for Ben Simmons to shoot, that tells you something. That tells you this is a last resort. Now, Ben Simmons does a lot of other things extremely well. Okay, we're talking about a lot of these issues. We're talking about Ben's jump shooting is way further down that list. This team was put together poorly. There are guys that they were counting on, like Tobias Harris, to play like stars who aren't. Josh Richardson, who I thought, and I like Josh Richardson, but I thought he would progress a little bit quicker than he has. He hasn't. And there's a lack of shooting and there's a lack of scoring here. And Embiid last night, yes, he wasn't great, but he had no help last night.
Well, who made the decision we're going to trade some assets for Jimmy Butler and then we're not going to re-sign him?
Or were you going to trade him? It was a sign-in trade.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying that they got Josh Richardson back.
Yeah.
He's not the caliber of Jimmy Butler.
We don't really know exactly what happened there. Was it just that Jimmy didn't get along with Ben and Brett, which is part of what we hear?
Well, then that's
obviously
part of
Joel
the problem.
Loves him.
You bring a guy in that wants to take the shot at the end of a game that can play a couple different positions,
right?
1, 2, and 3,
mm-hmm.
and is a go-to guy, is an all-star, and you just say, well, he didn't want to sign here, whatever. And meanwhile, in Miami's doing very well there. He's a leader in Miami.
Yeah, like they don't have an edgy kind of guy.
He was that guy.
They don't have it.
And it's like, oh, we don't want a guy like this because he offends some of our people.
It worried me a great deal when Josh Richardson was the one calling the team meeting.
Who'd been here
like
a minute.
Who just got here. And it wasn't Embiid or Simmons or somebody else who had been here for a long time.
Yeah. 888-729-9494, pound 9494, your AT&T Verizon wireless cell phone. WIP Sports Time is 4:59. Rob Cherry, Rob Ellis hanging out till 6 tonight, and I believe John Johnson is in at 6 tonight. 888-729-9494, pound 9494, your AT&T Verizon wireless cell phone. So there were some interesting things I saw on Twitter that I thought I'd bring up before we get into some other things this hour.
Okay.
Carly Lloyd, the great soccer player from
Delran,
wrote this, and I thought this – I wonder if this is like a knock on the NBA and the way they put together these super teams. She said at one point the national team had Heather O'Reilly, Tobin Heath, Yael Averbach, Chrissy Rampone, and myself, all from New Jersey. We all played on separate club teams growing up, learned to carry our teams on our backs. Nowadays, all of us would be on the same club.
That is an NBA shot.
Yeah.
Feels like that.
why don't you learn how to – you know, instead of saying give up, I think let's put together a superstar team. Why don't you do it by earning it?
It's an old
piece
school.
By piece.
That's an old school rant there by Carly.
Yes, I thought that. I'm thinking, what is that from? Where is
I wonder what spurred that.
I don't know. I thought that was maybe it was just an observation.
Okay.
Random observation, but I thought, well, is she taking a shot at NBA teams?
That's the way
like
it feels.
LeBron and you know the guys said, well, let's get a superstar team.
Yeah.
Hey, where do you want to play? Where do you want to play? Because, I mean, look, Charles has taken shots like that. Mm-hmm. Other guys have done that before, although Charles, at the end of his career, played with Clyde,
and they were done. I mean, they were done, but they weren't the same guys
right, at that point. But, you know, it's like they kind of – it was akin to like Michael or Magic saying, hey, let's play together.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it works.
No. I go back and forth on this because even back then, like – the Bulls added Rodman.
Right.
The Sixers made a trade to get Moses Malone to team him up with Doc.
Right.
It wasn't like you know, these teams just had one star and there was nobody else who could even play. It was much rare are the days where it's Iverson and you and me out there playing with them.
Well, except for the Sixers because they didn't draft that well.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But I thought that
players are more apt to jump ship now, for sure.
Right.
Than they were back in the day.
So we rarely talk about the Flyers because it seems like they've been out of contention for a decade or so, since 2010. But they're only 3 points out of first place.
Yeah.
In the Metropolitan.
We need to stop with the "this is a nice little story" narrative.
This Al Wine is a pretty good coach.
Al Wine? I like that.
Elaine Vino.
Nice work.
Vino, whatever his name
nice
is.
Nice work out of you.
He's done a very good job. This, you know what? We've always said, well, the next team to win a championship is going to be the Phillies or the Sixers or the Eagles. What if the Flyers broke the drought this year?
Well, just to put it in perspective, the Flyers are 3 points back of the Penguins in the Metro.
And the Capitals.
Yeah,
as well,
the Capitals won today, so they're five. Right. They beat the Penguins, so they're.
I didn't watch today's game.
Unfortunately, I was on the wrong end of that.
You picked
the Penguins
against the Capitals.
Yeah, but that's all right. We'll keep moving. We don't need to harp on that. Right. But anyway, my point is,
I didn't know you made hockey picks. I thought it was just baseball and basketball.
We do it all, my friend. So they've turned into probably the most consistent team. Certainly far more consistent than the Sixers are, that's for sure. But you look at what they've been able to do. I mean,
by the way, they're getting outdrawn by the Sixers, too.
Well, they are.
They're not drawing that well.
It's taken people a little while, I think, to come back. But they've won 7 out of their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. What I like the most about them is the balance, because you have the Couturiers, you know, some of the veteran presence.
Ghost.
G, who stepped up lately.
Ghost, G.
Yeah. Well, not Ghost.
Well, he's hurt. Yeah. G holds the record now.
Yes.
He passed Bobby Clark. Was it points or assists or what?
Yeah.
That happened earlier in the
week.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, you look at the year Couturier's having. Konechny has blossomed into a stud.
All-star.
An absolute stud, right? Voracek is doing what he does. And they made really good off-season moves.
Yeah.
Kevin Hayes has been excellent.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was before he got here.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been around a while now. But you know, even you see like guys like Niskanen, and you've had guys who have responded from bad years, down years for them, like Provorov, who is back to being the stud that he is.
And Carter Hart, since he came back, has played well as well.
Carter Hart, you know, we all talked about it. And they do finally have a goalie. And
he goes on the Mount Rushmore of Flyer goalies.
After 80-something games played.
Bernie, because the other
there's
goalies.
There's not many others. It's Bernie Hextall and
Pelle Lindbergh for the great season he had.
It was such a short, but yeah.
But it was a great year. I think he won the Vezina Trophy.
Yeah, but no, they're a good team. They're well-coached. They're forecheck, not to get too hockey on you, but their forecheck is phenomenal.
they muck and grind very well.
They take care of business in their own barn. Which is
they do.
Oh,
they
yeah.
do. They're great in their barn.
They don't get
not as good as the Sixers in their barn, but
no. But they're not a disaster on the road. If you look at the Flyers splits, just to again look at what they are, they're 21-5-4 at home. Okay?
That's pretty damn good.
That's really good. Okay, road isn't spectacular, but you're right around 500. You're 14-15-3. Yeah. So it's not the fall off you get with the Sixers.
No, but that's not the biggest story in hockey today.
No.
Biggest story in hockey happened yesterday. It was last night in Toronto.
Yeah.
Explain to me what happened, because there was a situation that was similar to this with a Temple kid.
Yes.
So last year with Chicago, right?
Right. Well, so what happens is, in certain arenas, there's what you call on-call netminders.
Now, the Temple kid was an on-call netminder in Chicago, right?
Here, but yes.
Right.
Played
okay.
for Chicago.
Right, okay.
Yes.
But he was from like Cherry Hill or something?
Yeah. Yeah, local kid.
So what happens is if you don't have – you have two goalies that are active, right?
You have two goalies that are active. If they both go down, which happened for Carolina yesterday.
Right.
Then you call on your – you get so when if one goes down, you essentially you tweet or call the guy and say, hey, be prepared.
But he's in the building, though.
You're one away from
– But the guy is in the building.
He's in the building.
Right, okay.
But the backstory to this guy is phenomenal.
So in other words, in football, the two quarterbacks go out, you're screwed. You got to have like
a receiver's coming in. It's a guy who played in high school.
Or Trey Burton or somebody's got to come in
and
take the snaps. In hockey, though, if the two goalies get hurt.
You're not throwing Claude Giroux in net.
You have a third guy that's on call.
Yes.
He's a rent-a-goalie for a night, basically.
Yeah. So this guy, his name's David Ayers. He's a Toronto native. The game's in Toronto.
Right.
It's Carolina-Toronto. Okay.
Yeah.
He's a 42-year-old Zamboni driver. Okay?
This sounds made up.
It sounds like a movie.
This absolutely sounds made up.
And he had...
talk about your miracles on ice.
He had a kidney replacement earlier in his life. Like, this is like, you can't write this stuff. Okay?
Do they audition these people and say, have you had any medical ailments?
Here's the way it works. He'll practice with the team because they need extra bodies.
Right.
He'll practice with the minor league team. They have one.
This is the
Toronto.
Opposing team, right? Or is it both teams?
He's ready to go for either team.
For either team.
Yeah.
Right.
So he goes, and at first it looks like it's going to be a mess. The first two shots he sees.
Goals.
He allows a goal, and you're like, oh, my God.
Were they soft goals or were they like real goals?
They weren't great.
So it wasn't like it went off like it pinballed off three different places.
No, it wasn't unlucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But then he settles down, and he makes eight straight saves after that.
So he stood on his head.
He stood on his head. And then Carolina's defense all of a sudden just tightens, and Toronto doesn't really get any good opportunities.
Wow.
And this guy gets a win.
So he gets – well, if they win a Stanley Cup, he's got to get a ring,
He's got to get a ring.
He played for the team.
So what he gets out of the game, other than just the moment of a lifetime, right? He gets $500.
That's cheap.
And
he would ask for more.
He gets to keep his sweater.
Wow.
Yeah.
He gets a jersey and $500. He's getting ripped off.
Well, I mean, look, it was pretty cool. So there's video of him when he walks into the dressing room after the game, and they're mobbing him. Like, they're like spraying champagne on. Like, that guy's got beer. He's just shooting it
on him. I remember heard about it with the Temple kid last year because he was a Temple kid. Yeah. They made a big story out of it. But I didn't realize they did this in every arena.
Hockey's a unique sport, man.
That is so odd.
It is. I mean, think about that guy. Like, he probably his whole life growing up in Toronto just dreamed of being an NHL player, right?
And then he gets the call.
At 42.
20 years later, he gets a call finally.
It's amazing.
And he's
it's an amazing
driver
story.
with a kidney.
He had a kidney
transplant.
Yeah, he's fine. He's good health-wise, but he's all good.
That's a great story.
It is.
Yeah. That's hockey. That's our hockey talk for today. All right, Calvin in West Philly, you're on 94 WIP.
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing, man?
Hey, Calvin.
I hope you guys are not watching Jason Tatum dominate LeBron and Anthony Davis, knowing he could have been a Sixer. Yeah. Don't watch it, man. He's going to aggravate you more.
He's become a great player.
Keep in mind that we discussed this earlier. The only reason the Celtics made that trade is they knew the Sixers wanted Markelle Fultz. The Celtics wanted Tatum all along. So they wouldn't have traded him if they thought the Sixers wanted him.
Yeah, he played Calandro.
So he couldn't have been.
Played him like a violin.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Now, something that's been pissing me off. Elton Brand. If the Sixers get rid of, Brett Brown after this season, which is more likely is going to happen, then he needs to go as well. Because last summer, like I was telling the producer, him being the novice GM that he was, he got taken to the woodshed by the ages of old man Al Horford and Tobias Harris. They pretty much went against themselves when they gave Tobias Harris that massive contract. Nobody was going to get him a contract like that. And they were worried he was going to sign with Brooklyn, so they overpaid to re-sign him.
Yeah.
And with Al Horford, if Danny Ainge is not going to re-sign a player, stay away from that player. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to regret it.
The question is, did the Celtics want to re-sign him, but just at a lower price?
I don't think the Celtics wanted to re-sign him.
But your initial point, too, is, with the whole Brooklyn thing, guess what? If Brooklyn's going to give him that kind of money, go for it. Let him walk, and you could fill your roster out much better. It's insane. I mean, I read this off earlier, Calvin, and I'll throw it at you one more time. I don't know if everybody got a chance to hear it, but so Tobias Harris, 32.7 this year, 34.3, 35.9, 37.6 for a guy who is at best a fourth or fifth guy at best.
And where was he at last night? They could have used him. At what is he? At $32 million, they could have used him to step up last night with no Ben Simmons, and he was MIA.
Yeah, he was killing them. And Embiid wasn't sharp, so he wasn't great.
Right.
But he was battling, and no one else helped. Richardson didn't help. Harris didn't help.
Exactly.
Horford can't even be on the floor now. It's brutal.
Right. Exactly, and I'll point to one man, Elton Brand. He's the one. And you know what else, fellas? The Sixers, their backup point guard situation. I looked at all the other teams that's right now in the Eastern Conference that are playoff bound. The Sixers have the worst collection of backup point guards. I mean, the Orlando Magic, they're AC, and they're like 8 games under .500. I would rather have their backup point guards than what the Sixers have right now, which is pretty much nothing. They have DJ Augustine and former Sixers Mike Carter Williams. I would take either one of those players over Neto. He stinks.
It's a problem.
Would you take TJ McConnell over him?
I love to have TJ McConnell right now over Neto. I would love it. I miss CJ McCollum.
So you know what the Sixers had last year and what they don't have this year? They had chemistry and they had some fire in them. This team doesn't seem to have any fire in
them. And that's, you know where you really see it, Calvin and Rob? You really see it on the road when things go sideways. Right. They just don't, they rarely ever rally or hang in there. It's just kind of over at that point. And that's a sign
of
leadership.
They don't have a change
of pace. Yep.
No. Right. They don't have no type of change of pace point guard. Like, okay, with Ben Simmons, we know you can't really shoot. Well, then find a point guard who can bring a change of pace and can score some points. And as you guys said, I know Trey Burke, he's not the best on defense, but he gave you more than Neto. Why did they get rid of him over Neto, fellas?
All right, Calvin, thank you, man. I think more than anything else, I don't think Brett Brown liked him defensively.
Trey Burke.
Trey Burke. Now, I agree with Calvin, and we talked about this at the very top of the show. They don't have a suitable backup. Neto's not a suitable backup. He's just not. And I keep going back to, you know, you kind of went like on a wing and a prayer with Trey Burke and Neto, and get somebody who's a little bit more established to come in and play for Ben. I know Ben plays a lot of minutes, so that guy's not going to get a lot of time. But in case of emergency like this with Ben's back.
What was the big deal about not keeping TJ?
I guess they felt like Indiana.
Yeah, they also
weren't going to pay that kind of money, I guess.
But they had Jimmy Butler last year when they decided not to use him in the playoffs. They had an alternative. They don't have an alternative now.
Yeah, I know. You look back at this offseason now, and you say to yourself, look at the mistakes.
It's like they got rid of all the three guys that had fire.
Yeah.
Redick, TJ, and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Guys that seemed like they had a burning desire to win.
They all had fire, and the first two, because they play so much more than TJ, would hold people accountable. And I know, look, Butler's a prickly kind of guy, right? He's a guy who can rub people the wrong way and all that. And here's my guess. I don't think Brett loved him, but I think push came to shove, and they were like, look, if we're going to back one of these horses, we're going to back Ben Simmons. That's just my guess.
Well, then why the hell did they trade two starters for him? I mean, it makes no sense. Not that either of the guys are flourishing, because they're not right now. Covington's with the...
And Dario looks like he's just a guy.
But still, you're trading two guys that had chemistry and a team to get one guy that is a finisher, is a closer for you, and then you let him walk or you do a sign and trade with
him. Yeah, I think and you said this earlier. The frustrating thing is, look, it was going to be tough to go in there and beat Milwaukee to begin with. Yeah. It's just the way it looked. And I know Ben being out throws everything out of whack. I get it. But I want to see somebody else besides Embiid step up. And where is Josh Harris? And where is – or Tobias Harris. Where is Josh Richardson?
Josh Harris is the owner.
He's the owner. Let me call him out as well.
Somebody ought to ask him what he thinks.
You're starting Glenn Robinson III. He's giving you zero. You get – other than Korkmaz, and you get very late Shake Milton production off the bench. Nobody off the bench does anything.
Yeah.
Horford is – I'm telling you, Rob, I don't think that Brett even wants to put him on the floor, but he almost has to.
Well, he's got a problem because I don't think he has a fifth starter.
No, he doesn't.
They tried Korkmaz. He didn't score.
I thought they were a little impatient with him.
Korkmaz?
I would have rolled with Korkmaz a little longer at the two. I would have done that.
Well, it didn't work. They won the game, but it didn't work the first game.
I know,
the Clipper game.
Shooters are up and down. And look, I know he's got to prove it against really good teams.
He was coming off like 30-point games, back-to-back 30-point games, and they put him in the starting rotation and score at all.
Well, Robinson's not the answer either.
Yeah.
And it seems like, and Brett said this, I think when they asked him before the first game back after the All-Star break, he said, we want to bring Burks off the bench. Okay, well, what are you doing? Who's the starter then? Because Robinson's not the answer.
Well, that's the problem. They don't have a fifth starter.
No.
None of those guys. I honestly think their best option is Thybulle.
Yeah, the worry is you're not going to get any offense out of him, but maybe, like I said earlier, you generate some offense out of his defense because he's going to get some turnovers. Then you can get some runouts and some transition points.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe they should have stuck with Korkmaz a little more.
Yeah, I would have.
888-729-9494, #9494, your AT&T Verizon Wireless cell phone. WIP Sports Time is 520.
Sports Radio 94, WIP, 2020 Sports.
Brought to you by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. I'm Joe Altamonte. More on Sixers guard Ben Simmons' injury today after he had an MRI on his back. Simmons ruled out tomorrow night against the Hawks. He'll be looked at again tomorrow. Sixers hosting Atlanta team that may be just what the doctor ordered. 6-24 on the road, just 17 wins all year. Although, One of those wins came against the Sixers in Atlanta 25 days ago. Aaron Nola breezed through two innings in his first spring training outing, and the Phillies held off the Pirates for a 4-3 win. Jay Bruce doing most of the damage in a four-run first inning.
3-2. Count is full on Jay Bruce. And it's swung on and hit deep down the right field line towards the corner. That ball will be in for a hit. It bounds against the sidewall. It stays in play. Both runs score. Jay Bruce jogging into second with a two-run double. And the Phillies have an early 3-0 lead.
Scott Fransky, the call on 94 WIP. Phils host the Orioles in Clearwater tomorrow. College hoops today. Temple losers to East Carolina 67-63. The only sports book backed by the number one casino in Pennsylvania, Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Download the app now. Get your first risk-free bet of up to $500. ParksCasino.com/PA for details. Must be 21. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Joe Altamonte. To stream 94 WIP, get our podcast and all the latest Philadelphia sports stories, go to 94WIP.com.
2020 Sports on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yeah, we're back. I'm sorry.
You were so engaged.
We were talking to John Johnson.
With your John Johnson yeah. conversation during yeah. the break. And John will be on at 6.
John has some guests on tonight as well.
He has Kevin Cooney and Ricky Ricardo, yeah. among others. You got to stay tuned to see if he's got anything else. But yeah. you were dialed in.
Well, because we turned the sound down. We turned the volume down.
And I'm waving to you like, we're back.
Oh, I didn't. I thought you were directing traffic.
You're ignoring me as usual.
So apparently, once again, there's a guy that's jet skiing in the Schuylkill. That's got to be illegal.
See, what I do is I don't alert you to it because you're usually in the middle of a great point, and right. I stay quiet. But
you see a guy jet skiing.
Yeah, because the way our studio setup is, you're sitting with your back to the Schuylkill.
Right.
I'm yeah. sitting looking at you
in the Schuylkill
with the right. We're gonna do a remote with you in the Schuylkill.
Right.
But I'm looking at the Schuylkill, and this dude just comes flying past you.
Yeah.
Under the bridge here.
I'm telling you, that cannot be legal to jet ski in the Schuylkill.
Is there? I say this out of total.
In Delaware, you can jet ski, but I don't think you can in the Schuylkill.
Well, I'm sure I'm going to sound really like this is out of. No. I'm not sure. I don't know. Out of this will sound very ignorant. I'm sure. Is there some kind of like water patrol like that could be working or something?
Water police?
I don't know.
The water police?
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
I know there's SEPTA police. I didn't know. I don't know if they're water police.
I'm asking. I'm not saying.
I don't know.
I know. Before I start getting tweets, I don't know.
Look, I'm sure they have some sort of, yeah. you know, in the Delaware.
Port Authority.
Port Authority, yeah. Delaware, because it's Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I
don't know about. I don't know who's responsible for the river.
We need to
for
get
the
you,
Schuylkill.
We need to get you on that. I want that your
Schuylkill.
Next. When's your next update? Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
I want that in that.
Find
update.
Out who the yeah. who's in charge of the river.
Exactly.
The Schuylkill, that is. We know the Delaware, it's shared by the Delaware Valley Port Authority, right?
Correct.
Or Delaware River Port DVR, DVR, what's
it? DRP?
Whatever it is. So there's people there, but I don't know about the Schuylkill. I don't know who patrols the Schuylkill.
Yeah, we're way out of our area. Okay, this is why we do sports,
because we have no idea about anything else
in life.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
All right. 888-729-9494 and #9494. Your AT&T Verizon wireless cell phone. Perhaps there's someone listening who can tell us.
Yes.
Mike in Hamilton, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey guys, great conversation. You may have just convinced me not to renew my season tickets, and I'll tell you why.
Really.
I'm in Superbox 13. A friend of mine has seats in the Superbox, and we have a 5-year contract. And apparently there is a clause in our contract that if the Sixers renovate the arena, that they can basically rip our contract up. So we have to renew our contract next year, despite having one more year left on our contract. And with our seats, we have $40 credit for merchandise, food, and drink. We also have free parking. So in renewing our contract, we lose our parking, we lose our merchandise credit goes from $40 to $25, and then
Tickets are going up, right? I just heard that. Tickets are going up.
But, Mike, this is strictly a clause because they did all the work they did in the Wells Fargo in the off-season?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And what, And one of the reasons we're upset is the only person not sitting in a brand new seat in the Wells Fargo Center are the people in the club level, because the club level is the only level that hasn't been redone. And not only in renewing our new seats, we would have to keep our seats in the same location, even though we would still lose parking and lose $15 per ticket on our food, drink, and merchandise. We also have to commit to a full season of Flyers tickets as well.
Wow.
Well,
and I'm sitting here watching
that. You have to commit. Hold on. Say that again. You have to commit to Flyers tickets,
too? For the club box, it's Sixers, Flyers, but not the concerts, right?
Exactly. I would have to commit to a full season Sixers and a full season Flyers. I lose some merchandise credit. I lose my parking. Now, if I want to go four rows in front of my club box, they're going to have these premium seats. So at $19,000 a seat, I can keep my parking. My food, drink, and merchandise credit goes from 40 to 30, and I still have to own full season, full Flyers.
For
and I'm watching Tobias Harris at $180 million make me sick. Like,
and a
5-year commitment with what's, you know, they basically, in less time than the 5-year commitment that I'd have to make, have literally squandered this whole process.
Right. Yeah, man. Look, I hear you. And, you know, Mike, all of our worst nightmares were you go through this thing and it doesn't pay off in the end, right? And that was the biggest fear during the process. Like, I was on board with it. I'm not second-guessing it, but that was the biggest fear, that it wouldn't work out, and you went through all that for nothing.
I'm doing the math here. For $19,000 a year for 82 games is $231 a ticket a game.
Well, it's 19,000. Well, it would be what? It'd be 80 games. Wouldn't it be 80 games?
Well, each one has 41, right? You have 41 home games?
I think it's 80 and 81. So I think it would be 81 games. So 19,000. Okay. I think it comes up to like $475 a ticket when I do my math. But listen, if I can say one more
sure
thing, you know, I think basically the one decision that they botched was, you know, Jimmy Butler is more of a diva than Tobias Harris. They sold this on the fact that Jimmy Butler was older than Tobias Harris. And I think one of the reasons they hitched the horse to Tobias Harris is because they gave up more for Tobias Harris than they gave up for Butler.
Yeah, Shamet looks like he's going to be a big, you know, they didn't want to have him just be for nothing. That's really what that was.
That decision has set us back, because they have nobody to close these games. And unless Ben Simmons gets a jump shot, I don't know. I think our piece is cooked.
Well, here's what I don't get.
Mike, good stuff.
Thanks for your call.
Appreciate it, man. Sorry.
Two years ago, they didn't have a closer against Boston. They couldn't figure out what to do at the end of a game.
Yeah.
Last year, they had Jimmy Butler, and they still couldn't figure out but he was a closer. They still couldn't figure out what to do at the end of a game.
Sometimes Butler closed, and sometimes he didn't. Like, you look at that Game 7 in Toronto.
Well, they had three turnovers.
I know, but he was horrendous. Now, I know it was hideous with those shot clock violations at the end, and we don't need to rehash that whole game, but there was a lot that went on. Well, I mean, we can.
Three bad possessions at the end of a game.
Gentlemen.
Hi, John Johnson. John
Johnson. Hi, I apologize. I know I'm prepping, but I felt, you know, I mean, I just received news, so I might as well figure I'd jump
breaking
in and tell
news?
You guys.
Breaking news?
Oh, here we go.
It is breaking news. It's not terrible.
Is it breaking news sponsored by somebody? Breaking news?
Not that,
do we have a sponsor?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
It's not Ben Simmons related. Will
okay.
we get
oh,
more?
Oh, okay.
It's Tobias Harris related.
Oh, boy.
Oh, really?
He's doubtful tomorrow night with a right knee contusion.
So you're already without Ben, now without Tobias Harris.
That's correct. Tobias Harris wasn't doing a whole lot, but yes, not being without him is one less body.
Well, who's your starting five then?
Horford's
Horford's
going to go back into the starting five along with Glenn Robinson, yeah.
Which may be more depressing than Harris being hurt. With all due respect.
I just wanted to give you guys a heads up.
That's big news. That's two-fifths of the starting
was
lineup.
Was that, John, the knee-to-knee last night?
That was the non-contact knee that
took
last night.
They only gave us like one, if my memory serves, they gave us like one look and it wasn't great at it.
But it looked terrible.
I thought for a second it was knee-to-knee.
He had that play where he was driving to the net and he came down and then grabbed his knee and then fell to the ground.
It looked like an ACL.
That's what the first thing I thought.
Yeah.
And then he eventually got up and limped around for a while and played through it.
Yeah, he did try to stay
But apparently, you know, they took a good look at it today, and he's doubtful. If he's doubtful, he's not going to play. Yeah, I mean, they might as well just rule him out now.
Very interesting how the Sixers seem to have players that get hurt in a game, and then they stay in the game, and then the next day, by the way, they're hurt.
Let me throw one more at you. And again, this is nothing I've read or seen or anything, but, you know, Embiid's grabbing the back at halftime.
Yep.
And He even mentioned after the game how he tweaked it, and it's been bothering him lately. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say it's a lock that we're going to see him beat on Monday.
And the Ben Simmons stuff is concerning.
Yeah.
You know, when we were talking, those of us covering the team, we're talking to the team this morning and getting the update on him and how he's going to have further testing tomorrow. The fact that they didn't, you know, if it's something as simple as, well, he just re-aggravated his back, they'd say he re-aggravated his back tightness. You know, we're going to monitor it and he'll be out tomorrow. The fact that they won't tell us anything right now.
Yeah.
You know, you're guessing the severity of it. But when the fact that he needs more testing, it's very concerning.
When did this happen?
Practice on Wednesday.
According to Brett Brown,
right?
He went up for a rebound at practice on Wednesday and tweaked his back. There are people who believe that they saw him injure his back in the All-Star game.
Really?
And of course, you know, I mean,
who gets injured in the All-Star game?
And Joel Embiid?
Yeah.
We had a caller that said, I don't want Embiid to play in the All-Star game. He could get hurt. I'm like, no one gets hurt in the All-Star game. They don't play defense.
Right.
No.
I mean, they do now. They did in the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter.
And it's going to be tough because, you know, you're inclined to want to believe Brett, but you know he's going to protect his players. And So, if you could believe Brett or you can say, no, he hurt it in the All-Star game. I guess that's up to your interpretation.
All right, non-injury, but real quick, John.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is injury. Your best guess at what's happening here with Horford, because it's one of a few things. One, he's hurt and they're not letting on. Two, he's just done, which is frightening. Or three, they have zero idea how to incorporate this guy and he's lost all confidence. Like, none of them are good. I get it.
Can I have more than one answer to that?
It's like, gun. You want it by the gun?
None of the above.
Yeah. I mean, what's your read on this? Because even last night with Simmons out, he felt like he couldn't even put him in the game.
He was
a turnstile.
He was a liability out there. He wasn't even just invisible. He was a liability.
Oh my God.
The third option, number three, is absolutely correct. They have no idea how to incorporate him, nor have they all season long.
How is there communication when you sign this guy?
That falls on the head coach, general manager, the coaching staff, all not figuring out a way. Which is, I mean, it's blatant negligence when you spend that kind of money over that amount of years. As far as his play drop off, I refuse to believe that in the span of one off season, his game vanished and died. Like, he went over the hill. He's not a pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and he's 33. He's not 39. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like he was – you could clearly see signs that he was falling apart last year. It wasn't like that.
Right. So because of that, I refuse to believe that his game suddenly died. I think he's fighting some type of injury that the team is obviously hiding, whether it's for him or not. And he's been dealing with it all along. And now he's – he's the brunt of all jokes. He's the pointing of a lot of blame. And, you know, if he's not going to come clean about it, then he deserves every bit of it.
Unusual for that team to be not upfront about injuries. That doesn't
happen. Real unusual. Never happens.
Doesn't happen.
Ever.
All right. What do you know about Joel Embiid playing poker in a Milwaukee casino?
I saw the video like everybody else. See, this is what's tough because
to me, what are you talking about? Before
it was the night before. Friday, it was Friday night. The night before, he's playing poker, but he was with a couple guys from the team, from the staff.
Right.
So I mean, I don't know what time of night it was. I don't know if it was 8 at night or if it was 1 in the morning.
He looked
tired. He always looks tired.
Really?
I'm kidding.
And so it all depends. You know, you don't know what time of night it was, and. I
don't worry about that.
The optics of it are horrible because you lost the way you did. Yeah. I get it. The problem is, I prior to social media and everybody having a camera phone, players in every sport do this stuff.
Probably did a lot
worse. And some are way worse. Yeah. Way. One day when some guys are well retired and I don't care anymore, I'll spill the beans on some guys because some guys, oh my God, you think, Joel Embiid's out playing poker. Oh my God, no, that's nothing. Try like 5 a.m. drinking till 4:30 and then, you know, showing up late to shoot around and then playing a game.
Right.
So, I mean, this stuff goes on, you know, all the time.
Yeah, I don't think they have to be hermits. I'm okay. I hear you. If it's 5 in the morning, that's different. But if the guy's out playing, okay, so what?
Milwaukee is not exactly known as a party town, but the bars were, when I lived out in Wisconsin, the bars were open in Milwaukee till 3 a.m.
Well, what else are you going to do there?
Well, exactly. I was going to say there's nothing else to do except go out and, you know.
Yeah. And now there's a casino, so you could you could do one or the other.
The odd part was the university city, Madison, was only, the bars were open till 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
College town.
Was that
shut
disappointing
it down
to you, Rob?
It was very disappointing because
you were trying to pick up college chicks.
When I first got there, I used to work till midnight. I have to run down to the bar.
Oh, you
got to
go hard. You got to get it in.
Yes. Imagine Rob Cherry leaving work. Why is this guy running? I got to get to the bar.
Why is that gentleman out of breath ordering
three drinks before 1 o'clock?
Was this long-haired Rob?
Yes, it was long-haired.
Wow.
It was hippie Rob. Yeah. Yeah, that was.
Okay.
I need some video of this.
No, he's got pictures.
Stills.
He's got pictures of long-haired Rob.
I've got a picture with me and Willie Nelson, but that was actually in Virginia. Yeah.
Shockingly, Willie Nelson looks exactly the same now.
He does.
Did I see that Willie stopped smoking weed?
No.
I heard
Why?
That.
Why?
Maybe
for his health?
He's 85.
Because he ran out.
Oh, yeah. that's
There's none
to...
left in the universe? Willie smoked life. It all?
He needed someone had to make a run for him. Yeah. That's why he ran out.
Say it ain't so. Willie.
I hope that's not true.
I hope it's not true either. He's my idol.
No, you know if he stops, he's going to be dead tomorrow.
Exactly.
Come on now.
He doesn't have any other hobbies, man. So it's music and weed.
I'll talk to you guys shortly.
All right, John.
All right, John Johnson. So you saw the Embiid thing in the poker in the casino?
No, I didn't know about it until you brought it up.
I'm not
worried about that.
Well, I'm not either. I'm just saying I thought it was kind of funny that somebody at another table decided to do it undercover.
Well, the first thing I thought of, can you imagine if there was cell phones, cameras, video, and social media when Iverson played?
No, because we heard enough stories as it was.
I mean,
or Lindros.
Just a casino or Houlihan's.
Yeah.
What would have come out of that? Or Fridays, TGI Fridays on City Line back in the day?
That's not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Luckily, there weren't cell phones back then.
Whoa.
Just people writing stuff down and telling stories.
Yeah.
Swapping stories forever. All right, 888-729-9494, #9494, your AT&T Verizon Wireless cell phone. WIP Sports Time is 540.
Sports Radio 94, WIP, 2020 Sports.
Brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. I'm Joe Altamonte. Sixers guard Ben Simmons out at least one game and questionable after that. After an MRI today, he'll be checked out again tomorrow, but he's ruled out for the Hawks game at the Wells Fargo Center tomorrow night. Tobias Harris now doubtful for tomorrow night's game as well with a sore knee. Now, the bright side, at least for tomorrow night's game, is the Sixers have been indestructible at home, 26-2 to be exact, while the Hawks have lost 24 of their 30 games on the road. Phillies put up four runs the first inning, glided to a 4-3 win over the Pirates in Grapefruit League action in Clearwater. Gene Segura getting the team going.
2-1. And it swung on, roped up the middle of base hit. Into center field. One run will score. Realmuto around third. They put up the stop sign there. And JT will hold on at third base. Over at first, it's Gene Segura. He's got an RBI single, and the Phillies have a 1-0 lead.
Scott Fransky, the call on 94 WIP. Aaron Nola, two scoreless innings for the win. Phils play Baltimore tomorrow at home. College basketball today, East Carolina beat Temple 67-63. Looking to get engaged? Shop Mark's Jewelers. Great collection of diamond engagement rings at their flagship store in Montgomeryville or online at marks-jewelers.com. I'm Joe Altamonte. To stream 94 WIP, get our podcast and all the latest Philadelphia sports stories, go to 94WIP.com.
2020 Sports on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Rob Cherry, Rob Ellis at 6 o'clock. John Johnson will take over. So our ignorance about the water police has been...
I knew it.
So people have tweeted you to tell you who's in charge of the river.
All right.
The river police.
Jenna says it's called Marine Patrol.
We didn't know this.
And
we're just a bunch of dopes.
Commodore Eric says Philly police have a water patrol unit for the Schuylkill.
Okay.
And then 4for4 Junkie sent me this gif of like... Lego men, like on the river,
in a police vehicle.
Yeah. So,
but I still want to know: is it legal to jet ski in the Schuylkill?
I can't imagine it is.
I mean,
but I'm pretty sure it was the same one that I saw last week or whatever it was, a couple weeks ago when it was warm.
Because you know, most of the Schuylkill, most of the Schuylkill by Boathouse Row up until Falls Bridge and past there, there's no way you can jet ski there because of the rowers.
Right.
It's got to be illegal.
Right.
But this part of the Schuylkill?
Are there any restrictions certain times of year because of the cold and the dangers if you fell off?
If it's icy,
I know it's not icy, but it's still, that water's got to be damn cold.
Well, it is. It's like, no, people row in this all the time. Yeah. Rowing's a year-round thing.
Yeah.
the hardcore rowers at least. But going out in a jet ski?
Yeah, it's not. No thanks.
That's insane.
I'm good.
And I'm telling you, it's got to be illegal.
I would tend to agree with you, but again, we're out of our lane.
We're basically idiots.
You know, I would say to both of us, stick to sports.
Yeah, stick to sports.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I had a we didn't have that long of a show today because of Phillies
went a little longer. Yeah,
but I did have an Eagles topic. You can I'll throw this question out there. Maybe you can answer.
You want to save material for next weekend?
Well, we could throw it out there next week as well.
Go ahead.
Because there always has to be an Eagle theme on any show on WIP.
Okay.
Generally.
All right.
Is Carson Wentz overrated or underrated? I didn't say this would be easy.
No, I want to make sure I'm trying to be thoughtful. I want to give it thought before I just spew out a hot take. I don't think he's either. I mean, do I have to? It has to be one or the other.
Right. He's overrated.
I think he's rated right where he should be.
Here's two of them. He's overrated because he's never won a playoff game. He's underrated because he was an MVP before he got hurt and got the Eagles into the playoffs this season. And as injury prone as people claim he is, he's only missed 8 games out of 64 in a regular season in 4 years.
I think he was underrated early this season, even though he wasn't great. Like, the heat he was getting was way overboard. And then I think he was properly, by the people who don't have agendas, given proper love for the way that he played the last 4 games into the postseason.
Well, here's what I say.
Did I answer the question? Probably not.
No, you didn't. You avoided the question. You've been on some postgame shows with me, regular season, postseason, regular season, and preseason as well.
Yeah.
I always say this about Wentz. Even when he's bad, he's good.
Yeah, you always feel like you're one play away. I here's what I always say about Wentz. He's not a shooter, he's a scorer. So it's not going to always look pretty.
That.
Yeah, he's not
a shooter, he's a scorer.
He's not, he's Iverson.
He's Ben Simmons.
Well, in this sense, and I'm not saying he's as great as Iverson, he's a Hall of Famer. No. So what I'm saying
he's
is
Ben Simmons.
Iverson wasn't like Steph Curry launching threes and it was Ray Allen, this thing of beauty.
But he could do it.
He was going to figure out a way to get you a bucket when you needed it. And I think that's one of Wentz's really good traits. As ugly as it could look in a first quarter or a first half, he isn't fazed by it. And he responds generally in big moments.
Even in his MVP season in 2017, there was a game against the Cowboys down there, I believe. They're down 9-0 or 7-0, whatever it was at halftime, down a few points at halftime. It was not did nothing in the first half. They put up 30 in the second half.
Yeah, yeah, no, it right.
And not
it,
all him, but mostly him.
I'm sorry, but the early criticism when players who have to make basic NFL plays weren't making them and laying it on Wentz was ridiculous. And then you look at what he was doing with literally a bunch of guys at the end of the year, and I don't care what the competition was, to get them into the postseason with that band of misfits was damn impressive.
It was a miracle.
Yes.
But, I mean, obviously it didn't go anywhere. But I still contend, had he been healthy, they would win at least one game.
Well, I agree. I really would have liked to have seen what could have happened in that game. Yeah. That game was so frustrating.
Worst nightmare.
Yeah, worst
nightmare.
To see
nightmare. Him get hurt that quickly and then not even know he was hurt.
Well, on top of it, I mean, to this day, no repercussions for that play on Clowney.
That's absurd.
In a league that claims they want to protect their players, in particular the quarterbacks, I just don't get it.
Roger Goodell's got no criticism about that, has he? It's all about this Manfred guy.
Yeah, I mean, Manfred's getting killed rightfully
so. But Goodell, I mean, you're in charge of the league, and one of your quarterbacks gets knocked out like that, with a headshot like that, and the referees are saying, oh, no, the people that looked at it said, no, it was incidental.
Yeah.
He was a runner.
Your biggest issue is there's no deterrent for a defensive player.
Not anymore, with stuff like that.
No. If I'm a defensive player, I'll take a shot. If I get a flag, I get a flag. Okay. But if the upside is that quarterback's knocked out for the game, then that's a win.
Well, exactly. You tell somebody, go ahead. Go out and do that.
Yep.
No one's going to do anything to you anyway.
That's the problem.
And if you get thrown out of the game, at least we got rid of their quarterback.
Exactly right.
Yeah. All right. John Johnson has just stepped in here again.
Gentlemen. I got to ask you guys a question.
Which is?
So with the NFL, one of the proposed ideas for that 17th game, because you're trying to figure out, is it going to be home, away?
Right,
how
exactly.
does that work?
Yeah.
You know, the proposed is a neutral site,
right.
Which, could be out of the country, which is just such
ridiculous.
A cash. No matter what it is, it's a huge cash grab by the NFL to make even more money than they already are. But one of the suggestions among that, rather than out of the country, or maybe if it's not all games, is geographic rivals played at a neutral site.
So it would be
like the Steelers, perhaps, with the Eagles. So it would be the Eagles
so
Steelers.
It wouldn't be somebody in your division, obviously.
No, 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 no. Like it'd be some
other conference, or
they would use geography, but it wouldn't be within your own division.
It would have to be the other conference because
right, it would have to be the,
theoretically, geographically, you're playing all the teams in your region, except
right,
for Dallas,
right.
Of course.
So, but it would be, let's say, for example, the Steelers, but
or
you
Baltimore.
Would play it in Happy Valley
or Baltimore.
Or Baltimore, perhaps. Could be Baltimore.
You could play
but you would play like at
Delaware.
A uni-
play Wilmington?
Yeah,
Blue
Rock
Blue
Stadium.
Hens. Blue Hens.
Delaware
yeah.
Park's got a backyard.
Blue Rock's a baseball.
Delaware Park, exactly. Yeah.
But it would be at a neutral infield. Site, a college university, which right. I'm sure they would find the one that holds the most people so
which
they could maximize
Happy
that
Valley.
Money.
Well, yeah.
Which is Happy Valley.
See, I think it makes sense, John, and the Penn State thing where, you know, it's the Steelers and the Eagles totally makes sense. But I guess the question I would have is, like, is there a big cry for a Bucks-Dolphins game in Orlando?
Oh, no, there's a lot of...
You know what I mean?
Maybe those would be ones they send to Mexico City
right.
And London.
How about the Giants and Jets? Where would they play?
That's a good question.
They'd Yankee Stadium.
Okay, they could play at Rutgers.
I mean, that's right. They could.
But yeah,
why would they bother? They have their own stadium.
Well, but I'm curious. You know, do you like that idea?
Yes.
I do.
You do?
Yes, I do.
I'm not in favor of adding a regular season game.
But if you're going to add one,
but
that
if you're
would
add
be fun.
One, that's creative. I'm okay with... And I know it cheapens the playoffs a little bit, but I'm okay with adding the playoffs. But I don't want to risk another possible potential regular season game to get these guys more further hurt and have third stringers and fourth stringers playing in the playoffs.
Having said that, look at the situation we're in right now on this Philadelphia sports calendar as we're hitting late February. Mm-hmm. We could just be coming off the Super Bowl.
Yes.
If these proposals go into place. So we could be right now talking about, theoretically, what Andy Reid and just did a week ago.
So the Super Bowl would have been today or would have been last week?
I suppose
well,
it would be pushed back a week.
Well, 2 weeks because you have an extra game and an extra bye, right?
Is the two bye thing?
I think they were talking about
that. The two byes isn't – I don't know if that's
– I think that's more banter, isn't it?
A given,
I like banter.
I mean, I have a hard enough time getting through that one bye, let alone two.
But having the Super Bowl in mid-February as opposed to the first Sunday in February would
be
right
from.
I do like that. I mean, look, the hardest thing is football withdrawal.
Yeah.
And the longer you can buy yourself, the better. The closer we can get it to NBA, NHL playoffs, March Madness, Philly starting, the better.
Right.
As far as that goes.
Yeah. So you get another week out of it, and it would be. You know, granted, everybody gets screwed outside of the NFL because tickets will be, even though, like, it's hypothetically, if it's played at Happy Valley at Nittany Lions Stadium, you know, it's going to be jacked up prices, you know, which are going to be insane. And they'll market it like, oh, once a year, you got to come see this. Everybody, you know, it's like a Super Bowl, but not a Super Bowl. So the NFL will make, you know, an uber amount of money. You know, probably 25 times the amount they would have made on that fourth preseason game.
Right.
But you know, from if you're at home and have no desire to attend the game, I think it'd be pretty cool.
Imagine the traffic jam if it was in Happy Valley.
Oh, God. Getting in and out of there?
The NFL cares about that?
No. Of course not.
But, you know,
why would they?
But
you could
tailgate
all
Central.
Week.
Right.
And also, think about the income boost to these college – not that they don't kill it during – they do during the college games, but – how insane that would be.
Oh, this would be greater
than just
than
stay
a,
there. Yeah, way greater.
Right.
Because they would stay there and party. They
you'd
would
get
roll
two,
in Thursday.
Right.
And they wouldn't roll out till Monday.
See, Rob, I'm giving you ideas.
So
you get two fan bases meeting a couple days before. They hang out, the tailgate. They would make it into the – they would turn it into like a mini Super Bowl.
So you have Baltimore would play Washington. Eagles would play the Jets would play the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys would play Houston.
Right. But then you get into the tricky categories like
Tennessee,
maybe Tennessee. But I'm thinking more
Carolina.
Like Pacific Northwest. Like who do the
Seattle would play
49ers? That's
no,
a
they,
stretch.
No, the 49ers have to
they'd play Oakland, right?
No, well, not anymore.
No, I'm sorry, they'd be Las Vegas now.
Yeah,
right?
so the Seattle would play the 49ers,
or maybe they play
not
like
Seattle. Well, I'm just trying to think.
Well, then you got the Cardinals and.
Right.
You know, so I mean, it doesn't work great for every team, but
well, who cares about the other teams?
Exactly.
We don't care about
what the
us.
Hell do I care? Right.
Right.
Right. But the only thing I would say too, I'm not trying to shoot everything down that John's saying, but like if
he's poo-pooing everything, Rob.
No,
Cherry.
I'm not poo-poo. popo. You do it once and it's awesome. Are you gonna? Is it every year against the Steelers? Like, how does that?
Maybe.
Work?
Well, maybe.
Does it have the same luster?
I think you
by
have,
year three
no,
or four?
Here's what you do. Here's the problem. What if you're playing the AFC North that year?
Oh, yeah, you're already playing them.
You're playing them once already.
Yeah, so I think
that
it's
would apply to Baltimore, too.
Yeah, so I think
maybe they rotate between two teams then.
I think you go Baltimore, Pittsburgh, except when you're in that division, and then you're playing the Jets or somebody else.
Or you take them out, and there's a team.
Rotate different teams in two different divisions.
I think people get paid a lot more than we do to figure this stuff out.
Yes, we're doing their work for them. Screw you, NFL.
Well, no, I actually think it's a pretty good idea because London, there's, what, four places you could play? Mexico City, let's say. You may even want to play in Canada.
But you know how it is, though. Like, everybody's so resistant to change. Like, I guarantee you, back in the day, when they had 12 games and they upped it to 14, everybody screamed and yelled. When they went from 14 to 16, everybody screamed and yelled.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Like, so people will moan about it, and then they'll get over it, and then you'll think, wow, there's even more football here, ultimately.
Well, that's been 40 years or so. In 78, I think, was the first time they did 16 games.
Has it been that long?
Was it that long?
1978.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a lot of changes. Is that what your show's about today?
No. It will be part of it.
It's called a tease. Yeah, it's one of the giveaway everything.
No,
he's
just
doing?
Give me.
I have 4 hours here. I'm going to obliterate the Sixers for their performance in Milwaukee.
That's a start.
Including the head coach and the general manager. Absolutely obliterate them. I'm going to tell you how most of the players on the roster are posers as opposed to the real deal. And that includes your franchise big man, who, again, had a cop-out after the game by saying, see, now I'm going to, I should have had the.
He's pulling up the exact quote.
I want to have the exact quote.
Because
I want to save it. I want to say it right.
He doesn't want to give you misinformation.
I want to say it verbatim, what he said.
Yes.
I didn't have the attitude I should have had. I felt like I had it, but I didn't show it.
Really?
That's Joel Embiid. This is last night, Joel Embiid.
2 days after he said he was the best player in the world.
That's correct. That is the definition of a poser. This is, I'm tough, and you punch me in the mouth, and I whimper and run away.
Joel is best served not, you don't have to say this kind of stuff all the time.
How do you do at the casino? Do we know?
We'll discuss that too, Rob. Stay tuned for it.
We will. Anthony Foley was our producer. Rob, when are you on next?
Overnight, Tuesday into Wednesday.
All right, we're on back next weekend. After
you and
the
I are back after the Phillies, correct.
Stay tuned for John Johnson. WIP Sports Time is 5:59.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.